Does it?
No.
I didn't know that.
I'm faithful, faithful.
For some reason, the kids keyed in on that as your real name, right? Because you go by Connie.
Yeah.
And I think especially Ainsley, our oldest, was just really interested in the fact that that's your real name.
Constance.
Like they're becoming aware of these things for the first time.
Yeah, they think my real name is Nani. I understand. I understand completely. But anyway, Hadley, what a joy if she has any characteristics she has that I can own, because she's so clever and cute.
She's funny.
And funny. She's got a sense of humor and she's happy. And I mean, what a treat.
Somebody gave her one of the ladies that watches our kids for us. Her name is Patty. So shout out to Patty. But she brought her a birthday gift the other day, an early birthday gift.
Oh.
And it was some homemade, like she had sewn some like baby blankets and baby outfits for her baby dolls.
Uh-huh.
And this is, I didn't see it happen, but this is the account that I got that Hadley was like, that is so beautiful, you know, like just over the top descriptive of how appreciative she was at 2 years old was pretty
well
cute.
Let me tell you something she did.
Okay.
They were in our car and we have a little TV that you play a DVD, which was VeggieTales.
Right.
And it wasn't coming up.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, Poppy, why isn't that coming up? And she said, Nani, it's downloading. She's not even three yet. It's
Hello.
Downloading. I said, oh, okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Yep. They get it. They know the technology.
They do. And I said, oh, okay, well, thank you for that. So cute.
So cute.
You know, yeah.
So we are in a series on staying free, and this is part three of that series. And today we wanted to get into some practical examples of how we can not stay free, if you will. And then next time, to just sort of preview this podcast and the next one, and maybe the next one even after that, we're going to go through 10 ways to stay free. So 10 practical applications of staying free from the Word of God. But today we wanted to kind of set the table and talk a little bit about, okay, well, what does it look like if you're not staying free? And what are some common examples? I know you have some just from people that have been in your office without naming any names. I know you just have examples of how people have come in and not been free once, and they once were. And then I have at least one practical example from my own life in the last week or so. But what was it? What were you talking about before we started recording today?
Well, I just think, and I said to you, sometimes I feel like we sound like a broken record, but I don't care. I'd rather the record be broken than people be broken, so to speak. And you just cannot contain the Word. You can't contain it. You can't just give it a quick glimpse and go to church on Sunday. I mean, you can do those things. But when you meditate on the Word, you don't find reading the Word in the Bible. You find meditate in Joshua 1, Psalm 1.
Though you do have to read it. I always want to add that caveat.
Yeah, you do have to read it. But what I'm saying is, once you, if you would get scriptures, just one, and memorize it, which that's where we lose people. They don't want to go through the discipline of memorizing it. And I think I maybe said something like this last time. I don't know. And that's why I'm saying I'm sorry I'm repeating it. But just this week already in my office, people are in big trouble that are Christians, born-again Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, that forgot that they have to communicate with their husband or wife on a need-filling level. I recommend that everyone go to a marriage encounter, because men are usually more fact-oriented and women are more feeling-oriented. We don't communicate on that level.
By the way, that's a seminar you can go to over a weekend with your spouse.
Right.
If you would like to know when those are happening in your area, you go to agme.org.
Correct.
Assembly, which stands for Assemblies of God Marriage Encounter.org. And it's a phenomenal program. You don't have to be a member of an assembly church to go there. It's just who originally puts it on. But amazing program. Like, you get hotel stay, two nights, food, everything paid for a nominal price, and the content and the opportunity to go deep with your spouse. I've done it myself, is really hard to imagine anything being better as far as getting a chance to really hone in on maybe where your communication might be broken down or where it can just get better.
Well, and you know, what they point out is we communicate on a fact, trivia, or opinion level. Fact, it sure is hot today. Trivia, how did Johnny do with school? I mean, it's nothing, or how are you? You know, we really don't give any real true meaning. And then opinion, you're supposed to take the trash out. Why didn't you? That doesn't make me that happy. I'm not happy with you in opinion. But we hardly ever say, what do you need and how do you feel? You can end any subject with how does that make you feel, and write a letter or just talk about it. And we just don't get in on that level. And this is what I'm going to say about this show today. You either strengthen your stakes, because if you don't do that and you lengthen your cords like a tent, you put a stake in the ground and you lengthen the cords, right?
To make it bigger.
Correct. If the stake is not firmly planted, the tent will not stand, correct?
Therefore, you can't make it bigger, you're saying.
Correct. Right. You can expand, and people try to expand out from their center or their circle of influence. And the two things that you can do today, if you will do these two things and you're married, and do the other thing in a minute if you're not married, but if you're married, if you'll go to a marriage encounter and learn how to communicate on a need-feeling level, that will so strengthen the stakes and the communion that you have, because so many affairs are started emotionally. Somebody's talking to me about something besides the kids or trivia or something, and meaningful, and do it regularly. And that's what they teach you at the marriage encounter. And then secondly, we're talking about that you need to be meditating on the word, as far as actually not just reading it, making it so you can bring it up over and over and over again, so it saturates the negative neural pathways and lies in your rutted brain. If you've been wounded or you've just lived in this negative world, three people talking to you all the time, Satan, yourself, and Godhead. If you agree with Satan, you're going to be negative. We're all negative. We all can be thinking, and never thinking about what we're thinking about.
It's amazing to me how when I memorize a scripture, or a passage of scripture, how it comes up in my life almost immediately, like the next day or the next week after I memorize it, because it's there for the Holy Spirit to access.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like as if you took a gun out to go hunting, for example, and you went, and you know, the animal you were trying to shoot walks by, and you pull the trigger and it says click, and then you looked in the barrel and there were no bullets in there. That's kind of what it's like when we don't have the word memorized. We don't have any bullets in our chamber to be able to fire at the enemy in order to defeat him.
That's right. And the word is Jesus. That's why it defeats him. If you use the 5 R's of Victory to Your Thought Life that you can get at totallytransformed.org, that defeats him, and it makes you believe it, because it's not enough just to know it. You've got to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So every time you go over it, you gather more faith and belief. Plus, you use it as a weapon of your warfare called the sword of the Spirit in the armor of God. But I thought of a really neat analogy that I've never said before. You know, we have two systems of the body. You have the parasympathetic and the sympathetic, right? The parasympathetic runs without you
thinking
running
about it. Yeah.
Right. Like your heart
beats. It's automatic.
You don't tell your heart to beat.
Right.
The sympathetic, you do some things, like you breathe. If you know you can't just stop breathing, you'll start breathing.
You pick something up. You think about what you want to pick up, so you tell those muscles to pick that thing
right
up. Right.
And I found myself saying to a client recently, that's like the brain. If you don't think about what you're thinking about, it becomes a parasympathetic system in which you think about the wrong things automatically without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
You can control it. It's really sympathetic, because the word says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle against the knowledge of God. Take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, punishing every disobedience with obedience. So you can control it. But what I've decided is that the thinking processes, particularly in negativity, I mean, Satan doesn't care if you think in faith or positive or in the word, but especially in negativity, becomes so automatic. I mean, psychology even calls it automatic thoughts. or negative schemas. We've got to arrest your automatic thoughts. And so it really becomes a parasympathetic process of where you can be thinking and be down the road in depression and destruction in a heartbeat if you don't take what we're saying here seriously and use the word to counteract, because the word is the only thing powerful enough to divide the soul from the spirit, according to Hebrews 4:12.
I think the opposite's true as well, in a good way. The more you have the word on the inside of you, the more it automatically comes up when you need it.
Yes.
And is there for you to use, to utilize. In other words, when the enemy comes and says, "You dirty, rotten sinner, I can't believe you did that thing 10 years ago," what comes up in your spirit
is therefore things that are behind.
No condemnation.
We press to them. Yeah,
right.
Or that. Mm-hmm. So that comes up.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Or forgetting those things that are behind, which we're going to talk about a little bit today. We press to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Forgetting is a present progressive verb. It's a process. But if you know there's no condemnation, according to Romans 8:1, to you that walk after the Spirit, you won't receive that condemnation. And so that's paramount to overcoming his lies.
Is paramount like paramount? Is that the same word?
Is it paramount? Is it paramount?
That's the way I say it.
Paramount.
But I knew what you meant.
Okay, I think it is paramount. Thank you for that correction. It's absolutely essential.
Absolutely essential. It's like Porky Pig. When he stutters and he can't say a word and he comes in with that whatever other word that's a synonym, it always makes me laugh.
Yeah, that is funny.
But okay.
I can't think of one.
I digressed. You were in the middle of something important.
I'm just saying it's absolutely essential to be able to take your thoughts captive according to that scripture. And notice that that starts with a understood you. You take the weapons of your warfare. It doesn't say you. It just says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. That means you have to take them.
And I just want to relate to everyone that might be hearing this for the first time, or maybe you've heard it before and it's just been hard for you for one reason or another to stay in the way of what we're saying. It's not so, we're not saying that it's easy for us to, you know, get up in the morning to spend time with the Lord necessarily when we'd rather stay in bed. And we're not saying that sometimes we wouldn't rather, watch TV than,
and we do
memorize God's word or something like that. And yeah, and there's absolutely a balance. We're not saying that you need to have your face in the Bible 24/7 or anything like that. But the point is that if we choose to let these things slide, then we're just making it that much harder on ourselves to stay on top of things in our life. And so I'll just share my personal example here that I alluded to at the beginning. I've had two times in the last probably week and a half where I've just felt under it for some reason or another, where I began to feel overwhelmed, where I began to feel anxious, where I began to feel like things were kind of slipping out of my grasp. And praise the Lord, thank God that I was able to make the time to get away with the Lord and just sit and process with the Lord and process my thoughts with him. And both times he gave me words through reading the Bible, just going through my reading plan, just the next scriptures I was in or in my devotional that I read. I like to read Jesus Calling. There's been something significant in there where God has given me a word to just level set me and just put me back on track. It's just amazing. I'm just so thankful to the Lord for doing that. And that's not any kudos to me. That's just what is available to all of us if we will just make that time to get away with the Lord and say, "God, I don't know how to solve this issue. Lord, I need your help handling all these things. God, what's the answer to this?" And while he may not 100% give us the, underlined direct answer we need 100% of the time, he's going to give you what you need to march through that day and stay within that day. And remember, that's all we're guaranteed anyway. So worrying about tomorrow and what's going to happen the next day after that is really not for us. But he'll give you what you need for the day to be able to walk through the day successfully with your mind and heart fixed on him. I promise you, if you get away with him, and you obviously start with the right things, like worshiping him, praising him. You know, if you make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your heart or no forgiveness or unforgiveness in your heart, etc. Certainly there's some things that are precursors to the presence of the Lord or being able to successfully enter his presence, but it's always available and he's no respecter of persons. It's available to anyone that calls on the name of Jesus and comes to him with a servant heart, with a submitted heart before the Lord.
I agree. And I think it is an example of he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I think he rewards people that know they're righteous through the blood of Jesus, but they pursue righteousness, which is another way of saying right standing with God. They pursue holiness, keeping a clear heart or pursuing his mind, the very mind of Christ. I mean, it blows my mind, actually, no pun intended, that we could have the mind of Christ. It should blow your mind. This is the God of the universe that we can engage in to be transformed in our thoughts. Thus, this ministry is called Totally Transformed, Romans 12:2. We just have lost something in the magnificence of that, the wonder of it, the awe, the reverence.
Right.
And I understand, I mean, I like certain TV shows and I like sports and stuff like that. I understand the distraction, but I also understand the strategy of the enemy in that distraction, because if there was ever a time when we're bombarded with all kinds of things that will take you down the wrong road, it's in the 21st century with technology and everything.
Right.
I want to say another thing. I want to say two things. I was looking on this list because I know you and Julie are going to share some things together, and I didn't want to repeat. So there's two things that I have learned to do that I think are sovereign from the Lord. One is something that we all know, which is the Lord's Prayer, which, you know, you can go through the Lord's Prayer really rote, or you can go through it with meaning.
Right.
And what I like about it and why I do it every day is because it covers every base. You hallow his name. You ask him not to lead you into temptation. You ask him to provide. You cover everything. And you can even expand it in your prayer, you know, time if you do that. And then.
And we know it's comprehensive because the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray.
Right.
And what Jesus said was the Lord's Prayer.
Right. And what, if you think about it, what you're asking in the very first thing after you praise him is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think that's very important to
him. On earth as it is in heaven.
Correct. That we want to establish, Constance Ruth Borden, want to establish the first thing that his kingdom will come in my life and his will on earth as it is in heaven. I just feel like if I don't go through the Lord's Prayer, that, like you just said, it's so comprehensive and it's so meaningful of what you do, you know, that I just don't want to do it. And akin to that is that I also welcome the Holy Spirit. I welcome the Holy Spirit into the day because, you know, the presence of God is omnipresence, present. The Godhead is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. But I think that the Holy Spirit enjoys the fact that I welcome him into my day, meaning that I don't want to live a second without welcoming you, thanking you that you're here, all the things that you do, comfort, lead me, guide me, direct me, empower me, you know. So I just think that that is really significant. On a daily basis. And so I just want to add those two things as staying free. Another thing that I don't do every day, but I found myself sharing with a client today, Hebrews 12, I believe it's verse 4 down the ways, and Hebrews says, do not fail to obtain grace, lest a root of bitterness will rise up and defile many. And one time, I was praying for your dad's subcontractor. This is when we lived in Virginia Beach, and he fell off a roof. And they said he probably won't survive, and if he does, he's going to be a vegetable because it was a really terrible injury to his brain. I think he fell on something really, really sharp or something to his head. And I remember praying for him, and I started praying for his healing, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, pray for grace. And I kind of had a little argument with the Lord. Grace, what's he need grace for? You know, but nonetheless, I did it. And as the Lord began to expand that understanding, you know, we think grace is just for sin. There's no temptation given to man, but God has not given the grace to endure it. You know, we define grace. It's the ability to do in the supernatural. This is how I define it. What you can't do in the natural or the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. But then when I went back and studied Hebrews, I got a new revelation that his grace is like it's like grease on the gears of an engine. You know, and so I ask for packages of grace. If I'm facing a hard thing, God, give me a package of grace. And I tell my clients this, ask him for a package of grace to get through this thing. Because clients come in to me sometimes and they say, I'm so bone weary. And I say, you need his grace. And so for this man that fell off the roof, I'm not saying this is the only reason he recovered. But I obeyed the Holy Spirit. Usually when somebody's going through surgery or in the hospital or facing a dire illness, I ask for grace, not just healing, for that person, for the doctors, the nurses, the aides, everybody that's involved, the person. And I think it's a supernatural thing that Hebrews 12 says, don't fail to obtain it.
Right.
I think it's really germane when it comes to relationships. Like if you've been wounded or offended, you've got to have grace sometimes to even desire to forgive somebody,
right.
You know, and you may not still feel like it, but Lord, by your grace, you said, even pray for your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. So we don't have any excuse. You know, it's like this counselor that went into her pastor and she said, I don't love my husband. And he said, well, don't love him like a husband, love him like a friend. She said, are you kidding? She said, I have lots of friends. They treat me a lot better than my husband. He said, okay, well, then love him as a brother. She said, I'm one of four children. I have three brothers. They warded off all the bullies and have been with me all my life. He doesn't act like a brother. He said, okay, love him as an enemy. And we're never off the hook. That doesn't mean we can reconcile with everybody or have a relationship. But we should have at least enough ability to pray for them, because if they have been so heinous to offend you and have been so lost, they need the Lord. And, you know, they may go to hell. You know, if they're offending you, they're probably offending a lot of other people. And sometimes we're offensive, you know, in Joyce Landorf's book, Irregular People, she helps you define your irregular people. And then she says, don't forget, you might be irregular to somebody yourself. So, you know,
right.
that's like the saying, I wish these people would get better in church, or I wish this church would be better. And then you say to yourself, well, it would if I wasn't in it, you know,
right.
You know, type thing. So,
by the way, if anybody wants to study the scriptures we were just talking about, the Lord's Prayer is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And then the verse you were just talking about in Hebrews 12 is actually verse 15.
Okay, thank you.
And it says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. You, by that scripture, you might stay mad at the person because it's talking about bitterness that offended you. But if you keep that in your heart, you're going to defile some people that you don't want to defile. The root of bitterness will rise up and defile many.
You know, I usually think of that in the context of usually the biggest impact is in our home,
yeah.
Right? And if we let a root of bitterness rise up within our homes, it can defile our marriages. It can defile our relationships with our children.
Yeah.
They can defile their ability to see God.
Yeah.
The way they need to see God for them to develop a personal relationship with him. So there's a lot to be lost there if we let a bitter root go down and stay there and not uproot it before it takes hold.
What you really do is inadvertently you become like the person you resent, because your focus of your heart is on that offense rather than on forgiveness and the grace of God and the love of God. And so it may not happen overnight, but over time, that bitterness causes you to develop some of those same characteristics with that focus. And you hear people say, I'll never be like that person. I would never do that. Or I'll never be like that to my kids like my father was to me, which is something you believe if you've been abused physically, mentally, or sexually. But you still, how many times does Jesus say forgive, to Peter? 70 times 7, I think it is. In other words, always, or too many, never not forgive. Why? Don't do it because that person deserves it. Do it because you deserve it, because you don't want that root of bitterness to defile people you love inadvertently. And so, I say there's three reasons you forgive: because God commanded it, it's a choice, you're not going to get revenge because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and you deserve it. Some people say, well, I don't want to forgive that person, they don't deserve it. You deserve it. You got to be free in your heart by choosing to confess, as we say, is the first step to healing anything that's in your heart that's not of God, that disinfects the wound, and forgiveness stitches it up so it can heal.
That's good.
A couple other things that I said we might talk about today that the enemy uses to keep you bound up is the past. I say that he has two demons, regret and remorse. And, you make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. We have this moment today. Sermon on the Mount, live in the day. Today has enough evil thereof. But two scriptures that go, or really three, I'll just share. I love it because this is Paul speaking. I believe he wrote this in prison in Philippians 3. And I'm going, man, if he wrote this in prison, he is just a master of his lies and mind. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. He didn't even consider that he captured and made it his own yet. So if you don't feel like you've captured it yet, feel like you're in good company. But one thing I do, it is my aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So we mentioned earlier in the podcast, present progressive verbs, anything that ends in ing is an ongoing action. Mm-hmm. So I think Paul is saying right here, I have to forget some of that stuff I did. Because, I murdered Christians and beat them and tortured them and did all that kind of thing. I have to really work on my mind and press towards what God wants me to do. Because if you stay in the past, or fear the future, which I'll talk about in just a minute, you're not going to be in the present.
Yeah, that's
right?
Good. That's good.
And then the first verse in in Romans 8 says, therefore there is now no condemnation, no guilt of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk, not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So you mentioned that earlier in the podcast already. That verse means that you can be processing out of a stronghold or some issues, but you cannot receive condemnation because you're in the Spirit and you're walking after the Spirit, right?
Boy, that's a convicting, that whole verse, when you get that second half, is convicting because, we quote the first half of the verse all the time.
Yeah.
Right? I did it earlier.
Yeah.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who what?
Who live and walk. So this is a choice of your will,
right?
Not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit.
I mean, like Paul, I haven't grasped that yet, where I'm continually not walking after the flesh. But what that's saying is we've got to be working towards that, right?
Right.
We can't be sitting still. We can't be going backwards. We can't be just, que sera, sera, I'm just a sinner. Woe is me. I guess this is just the way I am.
Yeah.
We need to be striving for righteousness and repenting when we miss it in order so that there's no condemnation. Not saying that we need to earn salvation, not saying that we have to earn the grace God's given us, but that verse is saying there's no condemnation for us, but it sounds like there's an if there.
Yeah.
If we're walking after the dictates of the Spirit or if we're not walking after the dictates of the flesh.
We don't earn it, but the Bible does say, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It does say the violent take the kingdom by force.
It's almost as if you can't earn what Jesus already did, right? We never could. We could never do enough.
Right.
But there is something to be done to maintain or stay within or to abide in the vine,
yeah,
if you will, right?
What I like to say, it's been done, It is being done, and it will be done for eternity. In other words, it's been done that I am justified, and I am walking in the Spirit, and I can enter in the Holy of Holies with my conscience sprinkled clean while I'm simultaneously doing what this verse says, which is to press after the dictates of the Spirit, not the dictates of the flesh, living and walking that way. So I that's been done through the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. I'm in agreement with him. I am doing it to the best of my ability, repenting through the blood of Jesus if I miss it, and I will do it eternally with him. And so that really has a hard time of letting the past haunt you. Because if you did it in the past, repent, don't forget it, do forget it, don't not forget it, do forget it, and press on in the present progressive sense of pursuing righteousness, knowing that that's all you have to do because you've already been made righteous.
Yeah.
You know, and this thing, this hangs people, mm-hmm. more people up. You know, they don't forgive themselves mm-hmm. for what they did wrong in the past. And that is Satan wanting to bring you down to his level, because once you confessed it, or if you confess it again, it's like you never did it.
By the way, that masquerades as humility.
Yes,
by
it the does. Way.
In other words, not allowing yourself to forgive, not allowing yourself to forget something that you did, and therefore not forgiving yourself.
Right. It's like I'm a dirty, rotten worm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could never aspire to be that, whatever that is, because look how bad I was back in the day. And we think that's a good quality to continually be going back to where we messed up, but it's really not.
And it's really, like you're saying, pride, because who are you not to forgive yourself if God forgave you, right?
Right.
If he already forgave you. So that's, and let's just, let me give you one more verse that's also in Romans 8. This is Romans 8, 38 in the Amplified. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, and I'm not going to read the rest of that because I don't want to go into that right now, can separate me from the love of God. I want to focus right now. Nothing impending from the past or nothing threatening for the future. That's past and future. Can separate you from the love of God. I mean, it goes on to say things to come, powers, height and depth, but I wanted to focus on those particular verbs, impending and threatening. Those are progressive too.
Right.
They can try to impend, but you can reject them. Mm-hmm. They can try to threaten, but you can reject them. And we all have to do that because fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of man, fear, period. Perfect love cast out fear. And that's what it's talking about. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The opposite of fear is not faith, it's love. Because fear has torment, but perfect love cast out fear.
Notice that if you do nothing,
mm-hmm.
you are a sitting duck.
That's right.
You cannot do nothing.
That's here. Right.
You have to take action.
Yeah, there's no such thing as staying on high center. No. You're either going backward or forward, right?
If you do nothing, you will go backward.
Correct.
Is the point.
But if you do something, I mean, just one step toward the Lord,
right.
One prayer, scripture.
You take one step towards him, he takes 99 towards you.
Seriously, it's so exciting, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's relieving.
It is, and it's peace-giving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Well, let's close in prayer and look forward to going through the 10 practical ways that we can stay free next week with my wife, Julie. But would you close us in prayer, Dr. Constance R.
Borden? Borden? Okay, I will do it. Lord Jesus, what a joy to be able to identify the strategies of our enemy for our listening audience just because we're walking with them. You know, the word says in Peter that we suffer like with Christians all over the world. And this podcast literally goes all over the world. Lord, I just thank you of any truth or knowledge, because we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free, that as we walk the good fight of faith, I like it says a good fight because I believe we always win, and share with our brothers and sisters principles of how to stay free and how the enemy strategizes against their thoughts to defeat them, it's just a joy. And I just pray that everything that's been said will penetrate not only the heart, but the soul, the mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers, the will and emotions. I pray someone will be lifted up from depression right now, or even thoughts of suicide, or even a thought that I'm not loved, nobody loves me. I was with a client today. She's been going through the cycle of root of rejection, fear of rejection, sense of rejection, and I hate myself. I reject myself. I said to her, remember, that's the cycle of suicide. You have a root of acceptance, perfect love cast out fear. You can sense acceptance and you can love yourself. Lord, help us. Help us. We have a real enemy. You fought him. You beat him. He's defeated. And we have to deem him defeated every day of our life for us and other people. And so we agree with everyone listening to the sound of our voice. Satan was, is, and will continue to be defeated. And Jesus is real and glorified in their life today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your delivering power.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the Totally Transformed podcast. If you'd like to follow us on social media, go to facebook.com/totallytransformedministries, or you can just search on in the Facebook search bar, just search Totally Transformed Ministries, and we'll come up there. We'd love to have you like our page and get our updates as we post podcasts and other updates about upcoming events.
And I'd just like to say, if you want to invest in a ministry that is going down to the root issues of Satan's defeat, totallytransformed.org, there's a donate button, tax-exempt donation. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. If you're looking for someone to support and you have a gob of money you don't know what to do with, we know how to get to people to help you, help make fruit for eternity.
Or a little amount of money, any amount.
Really, yeah, any amount,
the Lord
really
puts on your heart.
That's right.
Is helpful to spreading this message of freedom and healing through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, we'll talk to you next time on the Totally Transformed podcast.